The little text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is verse number 7 of Psalm number 39. Let me read that verse with you again. "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." Now, in this Psalm 39, the psalmist David is really, if you like, taking stock of his life. Sometimes in businesses at a particular time of the year, the business will have a stock-taking exercise. They'll take stock of their assets and their expenses, whatever, what concerns their business, the things that concern them, and the work that they're involved in. And this is really what David is doing personally. He's doing a stock-taking exercise of his own life, examining his life before the Lord. In the light of God's Word, you'll see that as he does so, he considers the very frailty of his life. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. He says, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am." He knew his life was frail, that his life was feeble, that it was brittle, just like a fine thread. He also considers the vanity of life and all that pertains to this world. Look at verse number 6. He says, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Yes, a man may have riches, he may have wealth and prosperity and property whatsoever. But whenever that person dies and comes to depart this world, he leaves it all behind him. No matter what he has amassed, no matter what he has devoted his whole life toward, he leaves it all behind. I'm sure you have often heard the expression that there are no pockets in a shroud. No matter how much a person may amass in this life, they must leave it all behind. Sometimes whenever a person dies and departs this world, people will ask the question, "How much did he leave? How much did she leave?" And the answer is, they have left it all behind because they cannot take it with them after this world, the scene of time. You'll notice something else here in the psalm that David, he considers the shortness of his life. In verse 5, he says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee." You notice there that David talks about the measurement of a handbreadth. And David here, as he compares himself to God, the eternal God of heaven, and as he compares himself to the great eternity of God and what lies beyond the scene of time, he knows that his life is short. As the hymn writer says, life at best is very brief, like the binding of a sheaf, like the falling of a leaf. David knew his life was short, and he knew that an eternity was long. And you'll see something else here as well as he takes stock of his life, that he considers the certainty of his death, the certainty of that time when he himself would depart this world. Look at verse 13 at the end of the psalm. He says, "Oh, spare me that I may recover strength." Notice these words, "before I go hence and be no more." David knew that one day he must leave this world, that as it says in the book of Samuel, he must needs die. He knew that this world that knew him would one day know him no more, that one day his seat would be empty and his physical presence would be gone from this world. But in the midst of all these solemn considerations, and they are most solemn, you'll see also here that David expresses a ray of hope. And he testifies of this hope in our text tonight in verse number 7 of the psalm. And he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." Despite the brevity of his life, despite the frailty of his life and the vanity of life, despite knowing about the certainty of the day of his death and his departure from this world, David here was a man with hope. And he expresses this hope to us here in verse 7 when he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." Why had he this hope? Why was David a man with hope in the midst of all these solemn considerations? Why? You see, David had hope because he was saved. He was saved by the grace of God. He was a man who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. He was a man who knew the forgiveness of his sins. He was a man who was looking forward to heaven, as we were singing about earlier on and that great hymn. Yes, in his life's experience, David, yes, he considered the solemn issues of life. He took stock of his own heart, his own life. Yes, in doing so, he realized his need as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner before God. And he knew that if he was to be saved from his sins, that if he was to be sure of heaven, that he himself personally needed to trust Christ as Savior, who was to come and to die for his sins upon the cross of Calvary. And that is what David did. And he tells us about that. If you go back a few pages in your Bible to Psalm 27 and the verse number 1, you'll see that for yourself. For he says there, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Notice his testimony, "my salvation." His whole trust was in Christ alone for his salvation. And friends, this is the reason why he has hope. This is why he is able to express and testify of that hope in our text tonight in Psalm 39 and verse 7 when he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." You see, despite considering all these solemn issues of life, these realities that were depressing upon him in this world, David knew the Lord. Christ was his Savior. Hence, he was a man with hope. And tonight, friends, it is this testimony of David's hope that I want us to look at and consider here in verse 7 when he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." In this verse, you'll see that David tells us three things about himself. And my prayer is for each one of you in the gathering tonight that just as David was a man with hope, not just for time, but for eternity, that each one of you in the gathering tonight, young and old alike also, will be in possession of this same great hope that David testifies and tells us of in our text. You'll notice, first of all, here that he speaks to us about a past reflection. You look again at verse number 7. Notice particularly in the middle of the verse those words, "What wait I for?" And there David is asking the Lord, why has he been allowed to live so long upon this earth? Why has he been allowed to wait so long upon this scene of time? What wait I for? This is his past reflection as he looks over his life. And my, this is a question that we all would do well to ask before God, especially if you're in the meeting tonight and you're still unsaved. Unsaved friend, as you think here of David's question and his words, "What wait I for?" Ask yourself the question tonight, why have I remained so long in this earth? Why have I remained so long in sin? Why am I continuing on in my journey to hell? For that is where your sin will bring you if you die in your sin and you're still not saved. Oh, as you think of this matter tonight, I ask you the question, what has kept you back from being saved right till this very moment in time? Well, what has kept you back from getting right with God to this very moment of time? What has kept you living in sin? What has kept you living for sin right until this very moment in time? What wait I for? Think of those words. In the light of the great issues of the gospel. Maybe in answering that question tonight, you say, "Well, I'm not saved tonight, for I want more time to consider that matter." And there's people like that. They've said to me often, "I want more time to think about this." Well, let me say, the longer you wait in your sin, the harder your heart will become. You remember what the Bible tells us about Pharaoh. It says, and God spoke to Pharaoh and says, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He hardened his heart against the Lord. Last week with lovely sunny weather, and you know what happens whenever the sun shines on the ground and the land. What happens? It dries up. It gets hard. It hardens. And that's really a picture of what happens in the life of that individual who, despite often hearing the gospel and knowing the great issues of the gospel, still will not get saved. What happens is their heart hardens against the Lord and the gospel. My friend, if you continue on going on in your sin, you too, your sin, your heart will harden. Your heart will grow harder and colder. Oh friend, is this how it is with you tonight? Is your heart growing colder and harder, as it were, to Christ and the great issues of the gospel? Let me say this, that if your heart becomes as cold and as hard as an adamant stone, and you die in that state without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then you shall be forever doomed and lost in the hell, the lake of fire. That is why the Lord warns you about this, about hardening your heart. When he says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Maybe you're not saved in the meeting tonight, and you say, yes, I'm not saved because maybe I want a better knowledge of God and his word. There's many people like that in society. They're not saved. They say, well, I want to know more about God. I want a better knowledge of God and his word. Maybe that's you in the meeting tonight. Well, turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and the verse number 26. And here Paul gives a solemn warning to you regarding this. For he says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, or not many noble men are called. What's Paul saying there? What's he warning you of? He's warning you that it's not knowledge that saves. Not many mighty men are called. Not many noble men are called. Not many wise men after the flesh are called or saved. Friend, you may have, yes, a great knowledge, even of God, about God, a great knowledge of his word. But let me say this, you can still perish in your sin despite that knowledge. You think tonight of Judas Iscariot in the company of Christ, in the company of the Lord's disciples. He had a great knowledge of God. He saw the miracles of Christ, a great knowledge of Christ himself. Yet he perished in a sin. You see, it's not knowledge that saves. You think of the devil. The devil knows the word of God. He knows it so much that he can misquote it. The devil even trembles at the things of God. Yet the devil is not saved. You see, it is not knowledge that saves. It is not knowledge that saves you. Rather, it is simple faith and trust in Christ who died an atoning death on the cross for sinners. That's what saves you. Simple childlike faith in Christ. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The Bible says, he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Maybe it's the case with some in the meeting tonight and you're not saved. And the reason that you're not saved is because you want better terms. Oh, you've gone on in your sin to this very moment in time, and the reason that you're still unsaved is because you want better terms, so to speak, of salvation. Maybe your thinking is that God's way of salvation will change for you. Well, let me say this, that the Lord says in his word, I am the Lord, I change not. I remember speaking to a woman once who sat in gospel meetings just like this. And yes, there was a measure of concern in her heart about salvation. But you know what she said when we come to the end of our conversation? She says, I'm waiting for a bright light from heaven to hit me. Then I'll get saved. Then I'll get right with God. In other words, she was waiting, as she thought, for better terms to get saved and to get right with God. Let me say this, God's way of salvation has not changed and it will never change. What is that way of salvation? It is a way of repentance toward God. And the way of saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If you're not saved tonight, this is God's command for you to repent of your sin, to turn from your sin, and to confess it to God Almighty. There can be no salvation without repentance from sin. What does it mean to trust in Christ? It means to rest by faith alone upon Christ and a sacrifice alone for your salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You must look by faith to Christ crucified and rest upon Him alone for salvation. You see, Christ is all you need for salvation. That is why Paul spoke of Christ in his letter to the Colossians, and he said, Christ is all. David asked the question, what wait I for? Tell me, friend, in the meeting tonight, why are you still unsaved? What's the reason? What's the excuse? Why have you continued on so long in your sin without hope, without God, and without Christ in this world? Yes, there is a past reflection here by David, but not only a past reflection. Notice secondly here from our text, a present response. With his past reflection, notice what David says, and now, Lord, he says, my hope is in Thee. What does that tell us there about David? It shows us how in faith David, he turned to the Lord for his salvation. That was his testimony. He looked to Christ. He could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And my entrusting the Lord as a Savior. He asked the Lord by faith, what for? To save him from all his sins, to pardon all his iniquities. For look at what David says in the very next verse of the Psalm, verse 8. He says, deliver me, he says, from all my transgressions. You see, David knew that only Christ could save him from his sins and the awful ruin of his sins. He knew that it was only by the blood of Christ shed at Calvary that he could be saved from his sins, his transgressions, his iniquities. Hence he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. He testifies of that also over in Psalm 51 when he says to the Lord, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He was before the Lord asking for that cleansing, that pardoning, that blotting out of his sins before Almighty God. And you know, in turning to the Lord for his salvation, David was not disappointed. In Psalm 103, you could say, as far as the east is from the west, so far have He removed our transgressions from us. The Lord did not disappoint him when he sought the Lord and turned to the Lord for his salvation. You know, as we would think here tonight of David and his response toward the Lord, I trust and pray that this will be the response to the Lord of every heart and soul in our meeting here this evening. Dear friend, if you are to leave this meeting saved, then you too, like David, must turn to the Lord. And in turning to the Lord, you must confess your sins to Him and trust in Him alone to deliver you from all your sins. No sin must be covered up or, as it were, hidden, as it were, from God. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Why, you must cry to the Lord as David cried here in the psalm, and he said, deliver me, notice it, from all my transgressions. He wanted all his sins put away, put under the blood of Christ. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5, and the latter part of this chapter, you read of the woman with the issue of blood. And I want you to see here about this woman. First of all, she went to the physicians of Israel, and they could not help her in her condition. Look at verse number 26 there of Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. It says of this woman that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but but rather grew worse. You notice there that those physicians of man, they could not help her. But where was her hope? Where was her help found? It was found in the Lord, and she looks to the Lord, and she finds deliverance and help and healing and hope for her need. Look at verse number 27. It says, "And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment." And verse number 29 says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague." Look at verse 34. "And he that is Christ said unto her, Daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Go in peace and be whole was the words of Christ to that woman. There you see how it was Christ that saved that woman. It was Christ that healed her. It was Christ that made her whole. It was Christ that met her every need. Before that, she had looked to the physicians of men and to the things of this world, and she found no hope, she found no peace, she found no deliverance. But in looking to Christ and touching the very hem of Christ's garment was as a reminder of the finished work of Christ. She was made whole, she was saved, she was healed. Her every need was met. David knew his need as a sinner. He looked to the Lord and he found that need met. Friend, in our meeting tonight, you who are unsaved in this gathering, also it's by you looking to the Lord, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, not looking to yourself or not looking to man, not looking to the church or anything of man's ordinance or creed, but rather it's by you looking in faith to the Lord that you can be saved, that the need of your heart, the need of your soul can be met before Almighty God. Does not the Lord say, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else"? Let me say this, that if you look to anyone or anything else for salvation, you'll find no hope. You'll find no rest for your soul. You'll find no salvation for your soul. You see, salvation is found in Christ and the person and the work of Christ alone. Follow the example of David in the psalm who turned to the Lord, who sought the Lord. Dear unsaved friend in our meeting tonight, follow the example of the hymn writer who spoke of Christ and said these words, "I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious. And not a spot remains." The hymn writer knew where to go with his sin. He knew that he needed to go to Christ. Unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, that's the remedy for your sin. That's the person that you need to go to. You need to go to Christ. You need to look to Christ. You need to turn to Christ. Confess your sins to him. And call upon him for salvation. Oh, follow the response of David who turned to the Lord, who sought the Lord. Yes, a past reflection, a present response. Notice one final thing here in connection with our text. Notice that David here speaks of a future confidence. Note those words of David in our text when he says, "My hope is in thee." Because of Christ as a Savior, David had hope. David had an expectation of future blessing in his life and time and for eternity. You see, the Lord's saving grace in his life, it led to great hope. He says, "My hope is in thee." David has hope in the Lord. He had the hope of God's pardon. You see, the Lord forgives the sins of all whom he saves. That's the Lord's promise to all whom he saves. In Hebrews 8, verse number 12, he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." David had the hope of God's pardon in his soul. He had the hope of God's peace also in his soul. You see, the Lord reconciles to himself all whom he sees. The Bible says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Christ, David was reconciled with God, no longer at enmity with God, no longer at war with God. He also had the wonderful hope of God's presence in his life. You see, the Lord is with all whom he sees. You think of what David said in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And the hope of God's presence. And that's the Lord's promise to all whom he sees. Turning your Bible back to Deuteronomy chapter number 31 and the verse number 6, and you'll see this. What a promise here the Lord gives to all whom he sees. And Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, and be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. This is why David had hope. He knew the Lord was with him in all the battles and all the trials of life. David also had hope through the Lord's power and grace in his life. You see, the Lord changes. He changes the lives of those whom he saves by his grace and by his power. You remember what Paul said when he wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, the runaway servant. He met with Paul in the providence of God and was saved by God's grace. And this is what Paul says to Philemon about Onesimus. He says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. You see, his life was changed by the grace of God. And David had this hope. He knew the Lord's grace was sufficient to conform his life more and more to the image of Christ. He also had the hope of God's provision. You see, the Lord provides for all whom he saves. David could say, I have been young, now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And David had the hope of heaven in his soul. You see, all whom the Lord saves, every single one of them, are guaranteed eternal life, a home in heaven, eternally saved from the pit of hell and from the wrath to come. And this was David's hope. He testified of that in many of the Psalms, and that is the portion of all whom God saves. Turn with me your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3 and 4, and you'll see there how Peter speaks of this hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. This is why David had hope. He was looking forward to heaven, looking forward to glory. And this is the portion of all whom the Lord saves. My, these blessings were all part of David's hope. And my, this is the sure hope of all who are saved, who repent of their sin, who are saved through faith in Christ. Indeed, this is why the hymn writer could say, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For the way is growing bright, and the soul is on the way. The hope of heaven, the hope of glory. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, unsaved in the light of David's hope, ask yourself the question tonight in our text, what wait I for? Why hold back from Christ? Why hold back from the blessings of the gospel? Why remain in your sin? Why go on in the broad road to a lost eternity without hope, without God, and without Christ? Hold back from Christ, to hold back from God's salvation and not be saved. I tell you tonight, it's the way of folly. It's the way of ruin. It's to be like old Saul who said, behold, I have played the fool. I have erred exceedingly. My, if you go on in your sin, you're playing the fool. You are erring exceedingly, just like Saul of old. You know, there's a story told of a particular court jester of a bygone day. And he was there working for a king in the palace, whatever, entertaining the crowds and the people. He was moving on to a different place. He had to take a long journey, and the king offered him protection. He offered him provision. But the court jester refused. And the story tells us how he perished on his journey, going on to the next destination. Friend, unsaved in our meeting tonight, that's really a picture of you. Refusing God's so great salvation, going on in your sin, and you die in your sin. You too will perish in a lost eternity in hell. Your soul will be forever lost and cut off from God and shut out of God's heaven. The Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And that will be you. If you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Oh, in closing tonight, you think here of David's testimony. Think of his confidence, of his hope. And he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." He was looking forward to heaven with anticipation, with joy, because he had sought the Lord. He had called upon the Lord. The sin question was dealt with in his life, put away by the blood of the cross. And he could look forward to heaven, look forward to glory. In the midst of all the solemn issues of life that were coming in upon him, he had hope. He had hope in his heart, hope in his soul. Friend, if you're not saved tonight, heed and follow the example of David in the psalm tonight and look to the Lord. Trust in him. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Come unto him as a sinner. Confess your sins to him. Do your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. Praise God, you will have hope. Hope not only for time, but hope for all of the great eternity of God to come. And the assurance, the certain assurance of eternal life. And a home in heaven. May God bless you tonight and help you to come for Christ's sake. We're going to close our meeting tonight.